Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In 2017, life as we knew it came to a screeching halt when production on Sex and the City 3, the movie, was unceremoniously and abruptly shut down. 3 years later, it was announced in 2020 that a Sex and the City reboot was in the works. However, the reboot is not actually a third movie, and thus my journey continues. On this podcast, I will be doing what many believe to be the undoable. I will be saving Sex and the City 3.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Saving Sex and the City 3, the podcast that never gave up hope on a Sex and the City reboot. And now here we are. And this week's guest, you might know him from Heathers. You might know him from his hilarious impressions of Chloe Sevigny. And you can currently catch him on the most recent season of Search Party. It's actor and writer Drew Droege.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. Thanks.
I'm so excited to have you on this podcast.
I can't wait to do this. I have no idea where we're going to go, but I'm so excited to do this too.
Me neither. It's an adventure every time. And I wanted to ask you, because when we were talking about the pod, you mentioned that you're not very well versed in the universe of Sex and the City.
No, I'm really not. I know it just because I'm just from around. I honestly think it stems from when it came out. Like, I to this day, I don't have a TV. Like, I watch everything on my laptop. I'm such a millennial. I'm such a baby. No, I don't know. And so when it was on HBO, I missed everything that was on TV at the time. Like, I saw every movie, and it makes no sense because, like, it's stupid for me as an actor it's usually TV that I work in. I don't usually get to be in movies. But I'm always watching movies and not seeing TV shows that I should be watching for my enjoyment and for my job. And I just don't. So I missed it. And then I've seen a couple episodes of it here and there, obviously. And I know it, you know.
Yeah.
And then I've only seen the film. I've only seen part two of the movie. I haven't seen.
That's all you need.
Oh, it's incredible. From Liza Minnelli to the camel to, I mean, Lawrence of My Labia to, I mean, all of it is just
it
so
has
special.
It all. It hits every
so
quadrant.
Good. Yeah.
I'm always a little bit shocked to learn that a gay man has no, like,
I know,
has not even any knowledge, but not like encyclopedic knowledge of Sex and the City. But I think it brings a really fresh perspective.
Oh, well, thanks.
And
I hope
we
so.
We need voices like yours in this fight for Sex and the City.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't like dislike it or didn't avoid it or anything. It was just one of those things that I just didn't. You know, like now, if it was on, like with everything on digital, I mean, I watch HBO Max all the time and I'm sure I would get into it. Maybe I will after this. Maybe I'll just start from episode one and get into it. But
well, now the playing field's even because the reboot will be on HBO Max. And
yes.
Then you're in a show on HBO Max. So it's like you're all just family.
We're all just
now.
On HBO Max all the time. It just doesn't matter. It's everything. We don't have a choice.
Okay, so for anyone that's just new tuning in, the podcast goes like this. I bring a guest on, I tell them to give me log lines for each of the four girls, explain their vision to me, if you will, and then we go back to the beginning and we build the movie, or now I've opened, they can do series, they can do a single show, whatever they want, and then we build it together.
Great.
So with that, I'm going to hand it off to you. And let you just reveal your truths to me and the readers.
So I was thinking, like, what if they just, they splintered off into, like, their own sort of worlds. And then it's sort of their lives mirrored different threequels, like other threequels that are like, what do you call a part three?
I like a threequel.
So I was like, what if Carrie just like, she's really, she goes to bed and she wakes up in, like Nightmare on Elm Street part three. Like she wakes up in like a, which I don't know if you've seen it, but it's Patricia Arquette and a bunch of teenagers and they all have special powers. So we don't need to know about that other movie, but like she just wakes up in, okay. in an asylum and she has special powers.
I love. Okay. Yes. That's very Carrie.
And yes. And it's like she can like out smoke, you know, and like out type and she's got like all, you know, and she's
an out wonder.
Yeah. Out wonder. Exactly. She's an overachiever. She's the kind of, you know, she wins the teen dream asylum. And then Miranda, in the world of Jaws 3, Miranda gets a job at SeaWorld. And then she starts dating Bess Armstrong and they have Shamu as a pet. So that's sort of where I'm thinking in the world of Miranda. And then Charlotte somehow gets into a car with Marty McFly and she goes to Back to the Future part three. So she's in the Wild West and she's like, gets a bunch of rare diseases that she overcomes, but she can't wait to talk about them because she's so, so plucky. And then Samantha, since it's a whole new character now, it's like a whole new actress. I just said, what if Samantha is June Squibb? And she moves to a small, she's not in a threequel. She's just moves to a small southern town and she starts up relationships with, Robert Duvall, James Earl Jones, and Gene Hackman. Like she balances all of them in sort of like a southern version.
So Samantha, she's now being played by June Squibb, and we just replaced Samantha, with June.
Yeah,
okay.
I think without mentioning Samantha, it, I think just with no fanfare, it's perfect. Just now it's June Squibb.
Yeah. Okay, so I love this. This is genius. I think something like magical or mystical has to happen to like throw the other ladies into these different worlds.
Right.
But then Samantha's just living her life and she's like kind of unbothered by the fact she's like, what, they have like a falling out and then she's like, I hate them. Like who cares about them anyways? But then the whole goal is to like figure out how to get the gang back
Them all back together. Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Yes. All right. So maybe this opens with the girls flying back from Abu Dhabi after their horrific
vacation. Yes, as if no, as if nothing's changed and it's just June Squibb in a Samantha wig and they just act like nothing. Yes.
In a gorgeous, like, blonde, sleek wig. Yeah, wearing, like, a suit, like, a power suit with, like, a pashmina in first class Emirates.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. With like a Kir Royale and just like ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah. So it can open up, like maybe it opens on New York and then it's like the music kind of gets a little more Middle Eastern and we get to the United.
I like what you're doing with your hands right now as if the plane is like a magic carpet.
And then it sweeps up to this airplane taking off.
Yes.
And then we're just right back with these women. Yes. And they're all shaken. They're shaken to their cores because they literally almost died.
It starts off really precarious, like that Denzel Washington flight movie. It starts off really scary.
There's trouble even just getting, like, maybe as they're taking off, like, there's the plane shaking and things are just, like, it's all bad. And you see, like, Charlotte, like, Carrie's, like, Cosmo is spilling over. Yes. And they're like, haven't we been through enough? And, like, Charlotte's like, I don't even think my toiletries, like, made it onto the flight. And Miranda's like, okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, Miranda's like, taking over. The flight attendants aren't doing enough, so she's taking over. She gets on the speaker. She gives everyone like very calm like life lessons.
Yeah, she's like, everyone put your seatbelts on and tray tables fastened, please. And then Samantha pops up, but it's June Squibb. And she's like, ladies, can we all just take a chill pill? Does anyone want a Xanax?
And the whole plane raises their hands. And everyone just finds her delightful. So she hands out pills. So she's handing out Xanax to everyone on the plane.
Yeah, she's putting them, she's like, open wide, and then like putting one on everyone's tongue. And she's a huge hit. And people are like, God, I love this woman. And I think it's really pissing Carrie and the girls off because in their mind, Samantha was the reason that their whole trip got fucked up.
Right, exactly.
And resentment is just brewing. And I think it boils over in the first class cabin and they all get in like a huge fight.
So while the plane is just falling out of the sky, there's a huge fight among the four of them.
Mm-hmm. Samantha comes back after dosing everyone.
So the whole rest of the plane is like...
They all sleep. Yeah, they all go to sleep. And then Samantha comes back and she's like, well, you're welcome. Problem solved.
And they're like, no, little do you know, we're in a fight.
Yeah, they're like, actually, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, how dare, like, this whole trip was supposed to be amazing.
Right.
And, like, you had to go fuck that guy or, like, feel up his dick and, like, get us kicked out. Your condoms went all over the place. Like, we literally had to walk in burkas. Like, they're still actually maybe in the burkas if they, like, crept out.
Oh, yes. They're in full... horrible, like, Lawrence of Arabia costumes that look very new and have no, like, dirt on them at all. They're kind of in pastels. They're, like, gorgeously made. Very movie, very, like, 1950s Aladdin costumes.
Yes.
And I think all the information, anytime it gets really graphic, like, you felt up men's dicks, I think that the camera's only on Squibb's face hearing these things. Because I just want to see her reactions to being accused of these things. Yeah,
and each woman comes for her and just reads her like a cheap novel. Oh. Yeah. Oh,
completely.
why am I to blame? I brought you. This was my trip. You wouldn't have even come on it if it were not for me. So actually, you're welcome to be invited on this beautiful vacation.
And, Miranda's just like, you know what? I've had enough. This is disgusting. And so she grabs a parachute that's in first class and jumps off the plane.
She unlocks the door. Yes. She goes,
oh,
I've been working with my therapist on no longer engaging in toxic situations. And now I'm out. And then leaves.
And just she leaves. She's gone.
Yeah, and she's gone. And then the plane, things really take a turn for the worse because the plane is now like completely destabilized from her opening this door. And I think like basically like the plane crashes in the middle of the ocean. Mm-hmm. And that's like a high budget, a set piece, if you will. It's very like Mission Impossible.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yes.
I think in the crash, maybe that's when Miranda, Charlotte, and Carrie get transported.
Yes. Okay. Now I think that's really good. And I think there should be like a really, like a, just a gorgeous like landing. Like it's so precarious and then it lands and it's like golden water and you have like the ramp and it's just like beautiful. And all the rest of the passengers they're all so strung out on Xanax. They have no idea what's happening. So they're just kind of swimming out. But yes, the four of them get separated somehow.
The four of them get separated. Samantha slash June, she's fine. She puts her little like floaty on and then is like floating out and collecting people and getting them on the life rafts and like helping to direct like rescuers to the plane.
This is so physical for June Squibb. I can't wait.
Let's get a big requirement for her. She's going to have a hardcore workout regimen in like the 6 months leading up to filming.
Oh,
just
absolutely.
To get her in shape. And so everyone's rescued and everyone survives except for three women that cannot be located.
Right.
And I think Samantha is so devastated from losing her friends that she then decides to give up city life
Yes.
altogether. Like you see her, maybe they have a funeral there, I think there would be a funeral for a group funeral.
A group funeral.
Yeah, yeah, for Carrie, Samantha, and Charlotte, or Carrie, Miranda, and Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. That, wait, so Samantha throws the funeral, or she's just like, she's like, I'm out of there. I'm not even gonna.
I think she throws the funeral. Like, we see her trying to get back into city life, and she's throwing this funeral, and it would be a good chance to like reconnect with other characters that were on the show and kind of check in with them and have this mourning period. And Samantha can't bounce back.
No, I mean, she maybe looks across the funeral and sees all these characters, and she's like, I've slept with all of these people, and I've slept with New York, like, and I don't have anything left, so I need the simple life. And yeah, and so she goes on
maybe she goes on like Match.com something, or a dating site, and just starts chatting with people, or she goes into like grieving chat rooms. Maybe that's how she starts talking to these men. And I think we trick the audience, like, I think we lead the audience to believe that all the three women are dead.
Oh, and I love
and
that.
So
I
up
love
to
that.
This point
so at this point, Sex and the City 3, like 10 minutes in, is just June Squibb.
Yeah, it's only June. And just when the audience is about to lose hope, I think then you cut to Carrie being like, like waking up.
Oh, yeah.
And she's in a mental asylum.
Yeah, I think she's in a mental, yes. And she's a teenager. Like, and she's, you know.
Okay,
and
wow,
she's,
yes.
You know, and, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker can pull that off beautifully. She always acts like, I'm a baby. So she's like, they don't, and they also like, she's had a tough life. Like, teenagers at this point are like, they've been through a lot. So like, no one questions that she's a teen with all these other people. And so then she finds out that she's in a place where people who have nightmares, and a lot of the other people in there are like having other, like, so she thinks the whole thing's a dream, but it's not.
Yeah, so she's in like, she doesn't yet know exactly like where in the world she is, but she's like chained or like strapped to a bed.
Right.
Like hands and feet or whatever, like how you would be in it if you're deeply institutionalized.
Deeply. Yes. And then someone comes in and like, it's like trying to sedate her, and she's just like, you know, no, please, you know. And then, she's a gorgeous hotel, like, I mean, not hotel room, but gorgeous, hospital room.
Okay, yeah, it's like glamorous.
Does she have a roommate?
Maybe at first we see her, and we kind of see her blurrily take in her surroundings, and she's in like a hospital gown, and she takes notes of her restraints, and then a doctor or nurse comes in, and they're like, Miss Bradshaw, like, it's time to go back to sleep, and she's like, no, and then it kind of fades out.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then you see Charlotte come alive.
Yes.
And is she just on a street corner?
Yes. Yeah, I think she can be, how did she get there? She's like, maybe she's, you know, she got on one of the rafts.
Maybe she washes up in New York.
Okay.
Like, she ended up on like a piece of flotsam or something, and then made it all across the Atlantic, and then got back to
New York.
She's
back to New York.
But it is like 4 weeks later.
Yes.
It took a long time.
So she looks really crazy.
She's very tan from just exposure.
Yeah, like scary tan. Like there's something wrong with her.
Tan mom tan.
It's like not flattering, and that she can't find anyone, and she doesn't have her cell phone, and she doesn't know where she is or who she is. And then Marty McFly drive up? I mean, how do we get her to the Wild West?
Yeah, I think that she just like, she kind of stumbles onto the shore of like the East River or something, and is trying to get her bearings. And then Marty McFly pulls up and is like, get in, like, I'll take you where you need to go.
Right.
And she's just kind of dazed. So.
And she's like, where is that? And he says 1885. And she's like, why not?
Yeah. Maybe she thinks he, like, that's her address. Is
oh,
like
that's good. That's good.
Up on the Upper East Side somewhere.
Right.
She's like, oh, God. Amazing that someone sent a driver for me. And she just
she has
in.
No problem that it's a DeLorean. And it's like, yeah. No, that she just is sort of like, oh, my driver just has a 1980s cocaine car. And so she gets in.
And then it zooms off.
Yes.
And then we cut to Miranda. And Miranda, her piece of flotsam, or maybe she's been swimming. Like
she swims to Florida.
She's been like kind of taking like a Shailene Woodley in that movie where she gets on a boat and has to like brutally survive all the odds.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's like how Miranda approaches a situation.
Right. And she'd been in the parachute. So she got, you know, so she wasn't part of the main crash, but it was very traumatic for her because it's not recommended to get out of an airplane. Parachute.
No, it's like very few people survive that kind of stunt.
No, but she does. And so, yeah, so then she gets to Florida because she's just like, she just swims in. She ends up in Florida.
Mm-hmm. She thinks maybe her measurements were off of like longitude and latitude.
Yes.
And then, yeah, so then in Florida she is.
And what if she just like so swims and swims and then just like somehow she just ends up and she's in one of the pools at SeaWorld. Like she's just there.
Yeah. Or maybe she gets like captured in a capture of like a sea
in like
creature
a net?
Or something.
Oh,
yeah. Like a net with a dolphin.
Oh, that's...
So this could also be a statement just about like dolphin capture.
Yes, absolutely.
Animal abuse. And so I think as she's swimming, she's like surrounded by dolphins and it actually is like a beautiful moment in her survival story.
Oh, it's there's a whole underwater moment where they're communicating with each other and it's gorgeous. There's not a dry eye and that people are just like, this is so beautiful.
Yeah, I think we get like a good maybe 15 to 20 minutes on just Miranda's like survival in the ocean. And it's like, will she or won't she? And then at the moment that it's all crescendoing, you have this dolphin communication and you see her really like starting to thrive in nature.
Yes.
And like, she's gonna make it.
Yes.
And that's when the nets come in pull her and the dolphin.
Yes. Yes. And it's really traumatic. And it's like, oh my God, haven't I been through enough?
Yeah.
And
and I think we have even like subtitles for the dolphins, like as she's learning to understand them and communicate. And then you see the dolphin be like, oh no, like my fin. Oh, I'm so scared. And then like,
every one of the dolphins' lines starts with, oh. It's like, oh, my, oh, the water's warm. Oh, why don't you have gills like me, Miranda? Like she teaches them her name.
And so then Miranda's like, oh, stay calm, like that. It's just part of dolphin language, is like the O at the beginning.
Right.
And Miranda's being like back to the dolphins and it means, oh, stay calm, like don't flop around.
Right.
And like they find themselves like I guess on a boat of some sort being taken into SeaWorld. And I think maybe it's like SeaWorld is doing this illegally, like it's a secretive illegal thing.
Yeah.
So when they find that a human has also been captured with their illegal dolphin capture, then they have like they basically make Miranda like a prisoner there or whatever. They say like you can't escape and blow the whistle on this operation.
Yeah, and maybe for a minute, Miranda also loses her ability to speak English because she's been speaking dolphin for so long that she can't fight back. And she's just like, you know, that's all she can do.
She's been living amongst the dolphins. Maybe the first third of the movie is Miranda just living amongst the dolphins.
Yes.
And then like halfway through, then she's like captured and she has, in fact, forgotten the English.
It's very Castaway, very topical, very political, just incendiary towards SeaWorld and our, you know, yes, I think that's wonderful.
This film's release eventually gets SeaWorld shut down for good.
Absolutely. Unanimously.
Everyone agrees.
Even SeaWorld's like, you know what? Get it. We're terrible.
You guys are right. Yeah. You were right. We were wrong. We're sorry. We're closed.
Right. Yeah.
So now the audience knows like that all the girls are alive.
Mm-hmm.
But Samantha has no idea. And she, I think we cut back to her and she's like deeply engaging with all these men online.
Yes.
And where do they live again?
Maybe they're in like Chinkapin, like in Steel Magnolias, or like one of those like small, or like, you know.
Like a small little like rural kind of southern town.
Yeah, like a small town. Yes.
Okay.
With like a thriving retirement community.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. And then do the guys know that they're all talking to the same woman?
Oh, I don't think so at first. I think it should be like sort of like she's like, maybe is she, you know, is she scamming them, or, you know, or she makes them believe that she's that, yeah, the you know, like the opposite of like, you know, like one of those things where the man comes in and takes notes. She's working all of them. Maybe she has different wigs that she puts on for each man.
Okay. Yeah. She's like gotten into like these deep relationships, like all with men that all happen to live in the same city,
yes.
Which is a shocking twist, but
yes.
She's found a really good environment with like great men, and she just can't decide
right
who she likes the best.
Right. And
and we see her in different wigs, like speaking to each of them, like maybe on FaceTime or something.
Oh yeah,
like
that's great. And then she just has the wigs in her car and her purse, and she just remembers like, oh, you know, and so it's just like blonde, brunette, you know, auburn. And, you know, so
it's almost like she's kind of dressing up as her dead friend to seduce.
Oh, so maybe she uses their names. So she never says she's Samantha. She says that she's Charlotte, Carrie, and Miranda, like to all of these men.
And we see her in like a wild curly hair, a short red wig, or like a luscious brunette.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Right. And then the men are falling for her.
Oh, all of them. 100%. And she has, you know, just her like, you know, her how just like sexually open she is. They find that wonderful. She's got like, you know, really witty sayings from the city that she's learned that they find wild. And somehow none of these men have been to the city. Like in some reality, they've never been to New York. They have no idea what it's like. So she
they're small town
and they can never leave, and they have no knowledge outside their world. So she tells them all kinds of wild stories about New York.
And they're like, God, we would love, each one is like, we'd love to come visit you sometime. And she's like, no, like New York is over. Mm. And I would actually love to come and visit you.
Mm.
And I think that's how they each invite her to like come stay with them for a week or something like that.
Yes.
Or do they each propose to her on FaceTime?
I think I like the idea that she's like, she gets like sent down there. Like one of them, or they all, it's like she has to deal with like, oh boy, all three of them have invited me to the same town. And now I have to pretend, now I have to really, you know,
okay.
keep this jig going. Cause
I think in the small town that they're in, there's like an annual dance or celebration. And it's a huge deal.
And everybody, you know, and it's the people spend years like, you know, making their costumes. You know, is it like a masquerade ball or something, so she can have masks that she wears?
Yeah, it's definitely. It's like a masquerade ball, also like a square dancing kind of element.
So still and, very like, physical jams. For June Squibb.
Yeah. Very physical. She'll also need some dancing.
Oh, lots of dance numbers with each of these men.
And they each invite her to go to be their date to this like annual celebration.
Of course. And she,
maybe it's like the jam and jam where you just everyone in the town makes jam and then they like square dance.
That's great.
And there's a masquerade element too.
So it's just, you know, boysenberry over here, peach over there, you know, just like, you know, and it's just it's a really big deal. And there's, does she schedule like different times for each of them? Like she's like, okay, I'll go with you from, you know, 6 o'clock to, you know, 7:30.
I mean, I think that she just goes at the same time with all of that. Like she's like, oh, to one of them, she's like, I'll meet you there. And then the other one she arrives with, and it turns into a very Mrs. Doubtfire. Like she's running to the bathroom, putting on a new wig,
constantly,
and then running out to talk to the other guy.
Yes. And there's someone in the bathroom that sees her change all of these things. And it's just sort of like, oh, I think something's weird here.
Yeah, we don't have many women like that around. I know. Parts.
She seems real, you know, she seems real shifty.
And I think that probably happens in like the third act when she's like running, like doing all the costume changes.
Yes,
and
yes.
She arrives maybe a week before the jam and jam.
Okay.
And like,
yes, yes.
Gets to know all her dates and figures out like if small town living is for her.
Yes. And I think it's like if like Robert Duvall is like a candy, like he like runs a candy shop and you know, it's just like, and then who else did I say? James Earl Jones and who else did I mention? Oh, Gene Hackman.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're all like very, all of them very active and vital. So it's like, okay, so if like James Earl Jones is like the mayor or he like runs the Rotary Club or something, and maybe they don't like each other. Like they just, they
they're
all enemies.
I like James Earl Jones as the mayor, and he's like very beloved by all the townspeople, and like he's kind of going to lead the festivities of the jam and jam.
Right.
And Robert Duvall runs a candy shop, and he recently lost his wife.
Yes.
So he is like grieving, and that's kind of how he and Samantha connected.
Right. And maybe the jam and jam is like, it's very bittersweet for Robert because like candy sales go down when the, because everyone's doing jam, they're eating jam, they're buying, you know, and so his candy shop is always takes a hit during jam and jam season.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to go, but then.
Right.
And also maybe his wife was like, she always would win the jam and jam.
Yes, yes.
And so that's another trigger point for him
Where
he's like, I make candy. I don't even know how to make jam.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to learn at this point in my life. And you know, now that Clarabelle is dead, I have no, like, I have no connect, really no reason to be involved in it.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe like they're, as they're talking, that's when Samantha tells him like, you really should go. And if you want someone to go with you, like she offers up, like, I'll go. And he's like, but do you make jam? And then she's like, I don't make jam, but I make a man. I can make a man jam or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
Yeah. And he gets him going. He's just like, it's on. Cause he's like,
yeah.
that is a city expression like I've never heard. And you are a
woman,
a classic city expression. And you are such a learned woman. I'm in.
Yes.
Maybe she has to make, maybe like, what's his name? The other one, Gene Hackman. Is he like live in a van and he's like maybe kind of shadier and he's like maybe a con artist in some way. And so, but he makes jam in his van. And so she somehow has to get jam from him.
I think, I like this. I like him as a con artist. Like maybe she thinks that he's really wealthy.
Because
in his background, it's like, looks like a mansion, but it's just a Zoom
background.
It's a Zoom
background.
He like imports.
Right.
And his hair is like combed and it looks like he's wearing a nice watch. And like, you see, I think first you, then after she tells Robert Duvall, like, we're going to go and we're going to like have a corrective experience in this jam and jam. Then she gets on with James Earl Jones and he's like, you are my queen. And like, I would love it if you would accompany me to this. And then she's like, she can't say no.
Right. Because he's the mayor.
So she just
and
says,
she's also attracted to him as well. So she's like, I have to do that too.
And then she gets on with Gene, who looks like this really slick guy. And he's like, why don't you come and visit me? And then maybe we can take my private jet or my private RV over to this like jam jam festival. And she's like, okay. Like she's
really
intrigued
by him. Yeah, she's like, I had a terrible time on a plane. So you don't need to get in your jet. Don't they do this for me. So I'll just, we can take an Uber. And he's like, wow, she's so, you know, so he just always talks about his wealth and then you don't ever see any evidence.
Maybe
of it.
He asks her, he's like, well, I'll send a car for you or I need your ID just so I can give my people. So he's trying to scam her right from the beginning.
Yes.
So she sends him a picture of her driver's license and then they hang up like, say, I love you. And then as he hangs up, you see just his filthy trailer.
Everything behind him. And he like stands up. He's not wearing any pants. He He's just like stained, like just mustard stains, just like, you know. Maybe he has like a bird in the car with him or something, like some weird animal, guinea pig.
Yeah, he has a parrot.
Yeah, like just, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ugh. And it's sick.
And he's like constantly smoking cigarettes.
The minute the phone calls up, he lights a cigarette. And you're like, oh no.
And you just see this guy's up to no good. And maybe he's actually trying to like, maybe he's trying to do something really bad at the Jam and Jam. Like he has like, he not only is trying to steal Samantha's like money, but he's also has like a nefarious plot.
Yeah. Like if he like, well, if he can like blow up the, because everyone in the town is there, then he can like take over the town and like make it, he can take over all the businesses that he wants.
Yeah, he wants to be the mayor, but he thinks the only way to be the mayor is to a hostile takeover of the Jam and Jam,
right.
And then also to use Samantha's wealth to like fund this hostile takeover of this small town.
And
okay, yeah.
And Samantha has like stupidly told him about all of her wealth, all the money that she has, and it's just like, you know, she's really open about it. She has no idea that, you know, he's because she's like, oh, we're both billionaires and we can talk about our money freely, and she just gives him all, you know.
Feels so good to be able to just be transparent with each other.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
So then I think we cut back to Carrie, and now she's in a room like being questioned, like, and by scientists.
Yes. And they're just asking her all about, you know, what she sees when she dreams. And she's talking about her three friends and the, you know, all the adventures they had in New York. And they're just like, oh, she's really troubled.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the other kids like have like, they have special powers. Like some of them become like claymation and some of them are like, you know, so what is hers? Like, what are some of her powers that she can have?
I liked, like, your, like, she, something to do with smoking.
Yes.
Like, she can, maybe she just can, like, blow cigarette smoke. Like, you know how people sometimes vape with those huge things and blow out, like, a plume?
Yes.
She can do that, but just with stone cold cigarette smoke out of nowhere. She just generates.
But only in her dreams.
Yeah. Oh, only in her dreams. Okay.
Yeah.
And so are they trying to show, are they trying to get her to turn her dreams into reality? Is that like the, why is she,
her dreams are like plaguing her and it's like the other kids, they don't want to go to sleep because all their terror happens in their dreams. They're trying to stay awake.
Okay, so all the kids there, it's like they have special powers,
yes,
but only in their dreams. Okay,
yes.
Yeah. I haven't seen the third installment.
Oh, it's the best one.
Nightmare on
Elm
Street. Okay, I got it.
The best.
I'm adding that to my
list.
It's so
fun. Because
I love the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, you do? Oh, then you have the
Like the first one, yeah, I'm like a huge, I love it.
Oh,
it's like gorgeous.
I love the first one too, but part three is like even more fun to me. It's very 80s.
Yeah.
Patricia Arquette's first thing she ever did, and it was like, she's so amazing in it, and it's great.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's a dream center,
yes,
for troubled youth.
Yes.
And all of them have special powers,
mm-hmm,
in their dreams,
mm-hmm,
but they're haunted by these special powers. So these scientists are trying to get them to just, like, get over it mentally,
and to not have bad dreams. Because the kids are, like, dying in their dreams. Like, that's how they die.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
It's like Freddy's coming to their dream and he's killing them. But in this one, they fight back. So it's like she has an ability. So maybe so does she get brought into the world with, like, is, like, Freddy, like, chasing her at some point?
Yeah, I think maybe even the first time we see Carrie, she is being chased by, at post-plane crash, she is being chased by Freddy Krueger.
That makes great. She's running down the hallway in that house. And, like, and there's just, like, you know,
yeah,
like,
or even the streets of Manhattan or like a Barney's or Saks Fifth Avenue. And she's like running through like the shoe department.
I love it. And it's like an abandoned Barney's. And so there's just, you see all of the merchandise and there's like no one there. She's asking for help. And then you just see pocketbooks fly off the shelf. And Freddy's like, just with his claw, he's like, just like slicing up. And she stops, mm-hmm, and she's like, oh my God, you know, those are Manolos, or oh my God, those are like whatever. And she gets to like name check certain things while she's being
totally
chased. But it's very scary.
Yeah, he swipes like her a top that she's wearing or something, and she's like, this was vintage Cavalli. Like And then I think he even like scratches her, and when she wakes up,
she still has the scratch. And he also needs some sort of wise crack as well, because Freddie is very like, by this point he's very sassy. So, you know, he might just be like, welcome to haute couture, bitch, or something like that. Something very, very witty. Yes. That took
Freddie knows fashion terms. Absolutely. Like in and out. Yeah. I have a subscription to Italian Vogue.
Ingrid Sissy was a good friend of mine. Perfect.
So, okay, I love it. So, yeah, that makes sense that then Carrie is, like, getting to know her other teen, like, roommates and, yeah, and attendees of this institution. And I think this is great to include teens because we got to get Gen Z.
Absolutely. We got to.
I just don't think they care enough.
No, yeah, and they need to be brought into this world. And I think it's really fun that she, you know, she can learn all about, you know, TikTok and, you know.
It's all TikTokers. Addison Rae, I think she's absolutely in this movie.
I don't know who that
and,
is.
Like, all the TikTok
people. That sounds like perfect.
We need her. Just trust
I trust
it. We
you.
Need her.
She's on.
She's in. There's like James Charles, I think, mm-hmm, also mm-hmm. in. We really get the best of the best from TikTok and Gen Z YouTube, and they're all in this like dream institution.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Dream Study Center.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So Carrie, she's being told she really needs to like harness her powers and her dreams, or like the kid, she and the kids are just like trying to figure out like how to fight back right. against this guy.
Yeah. So does she have like, does she decide to light a cigarette right before she goes to like, she, she's like,
she smokes her
smoking
night cigarette.
Cause that's in her dreams. She can never find a cigarette. So she, you know, she, but she realizes like if she can get a cigarette in her dreams, she can blow smoke and kill Freddie with all that smoke. But she has to get that cigarette. So she decides to like, as she's going to sleep, she lights a cigarette.
And, like, yeah, they're like, have you ever tried? Like, and she's like, okay, just trust me. And like lights it and then always is falling asleep with a cigarette in her hand.
And she falls back like through the bed. And then she ends up in like in a dream world with her cigarette, and it's like yes.
And she's like, I got it. And then she's back in like the old decrepit like Barney's,
yes,
and like creeping around like looking for Freddie. Mm-hmm. Can the kids find each other in their dreams?
Yes, they can. I think maybe that happens in a later one, but yeah, they do. Yeah, they can like they can okay. all. They can sort of jump in. And so I think that, you know, maybe because maybe they just, they realize that that Carrie, of all the kids, Carrie's the one who can actually defeat Freddie. Like, she has the gift.
Yeah. So they, I think we see a lot of them, like, trying different tactics in the dreams. And, like, maybe, like, Addison Rae or whatever at first is, like, maybe Carrie thinks she has no special powers.
Oh, yeah.
At first.
Yeah. I love
and
that.
And then, like, then they're in a dream and they're like meeting up, and then these TikTokers get killed off like one by one,
yeah.
Or maybe a couple of them are going to have to lose their lives.
Oh, sure.
At Freddie's hand.
Yeah.
And like you see Carrie and the kids like meet up in the dream, and Addison's like, I'm going to use my special dances, and does like a TikTok dance to try and like fight him off, but she gets slashed.
Right, totally. And Freddie has another dance. Like Freddie always like meets them halfway before he likes to play with them a little bit. So he has like he has an amazing TikTok dance that we get to like really enjoy before he slashes her.
To a very popular song, like a popular remix. Whatever song is most popular at the time is like the one that Freddie also TikToked.
We'll have to wait till the very last minute to pick the song because it'll change so much.
Yeah.
So that'll be the last decision that we make when we're, is the song.
The final day of filming is this TikTok scene.
Right.
And so as each of these kids are being killed off and trying to find their special powers, maybe Carrie is still wondering what hers is. Like,
right. And she does a lot of like, oh, I just can't think of anything. And then she's always lighting a cigarette and she just doesn't, she doesn't draw that connection.
And everyone at the institution is telling her, like, smoking is bad for you. Like, all these kids.
Oh, yeah,
like,
the kids are all very anti-smoking. The movie ends up becoming very pro-smoking. It's very anti-SeaWorld, but it, but cigarettes actually save Carrie Bradshaw. So it's like, well.
They save her, and it's like the a total reboot of cigarettes. Like,
they're back.
Marlboro Lights are flying off the shelves. They make, like, a special edition Sex in the City 3 version.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
pink cigarette, like 120s, like, you know, just everybody
absolutely
wants them.
Smoking's back in a huge way. It's bigger than ever.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are endorsing it. It's like everyone's going, you know what? It's actually great. If it's good enough for Carrie Bradshaw, it's good enough for me.
Yeah, and it's good and good for you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Healthful.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Carrie, I think she's just still kind of trying to find her power, and we see these like slasher deaths kind of happening. And after she loses, like, maybe she gets really close to Addison and, like, they are becoming, like, really good friends. And they talk about friendship and life and, like, and Addison's asking her, like, what is your, like, you're from New York. That's, like, crazy. And Carrie tells her all about, like, her friends. And it's a real moment of reckoning where Carrie's, like, because maybe she's like, I don't miss my friends at all, or like, fuck them, or does
she
even remember?
She's like, I've never had a friend like you, Addison. Like, none of my friends really understand me in the same way. And she really realizes, like, are these women good for me? I don't know.
And like, do I want to like go back to them, or is this my life now?
Right.
And just be institutionalized randomly forever.
So when did she find her power? I'm wondering if like does Addison give her that, like, say, like, look, you are a terrific smoker, you know, like, maybe you should try that.
Maybe. Yeah. Like, people don't like certain things that you do or agree with your life decisions, but maybe that is your power, is that like, those are what make you powerful, but they might not be for everyone else.
Oh, I love that.
And then
that.
That's when they, like, hatch the plan. Maybe they hatch the plan together. Like, Carrie's going to go to sleep with the cigarette, and then Addison will meet her in the dream.
Yes.
And Carrie does find her power, but Addison still tragically
dies. Carrie has that cigarette.
Yeah.
And then does she set a trap for Freddie to, like, you know...
Yeah, I think... It's like maybe she wakes up, but Addison's dead. So then she is very devastated, and she needs to decide, like, if she's going to try and avenge this death and, like, fight for friendship, or if she's just going to let it all go.
Mm.
And that's kind of a metaphor for, like, her friendship with the other women.
Right. And then she realizes that the other women are really important to her, and she needs to fight to get out of there and find them again, because she misses them, and they've been really good to her.
Maybe they say, like, a doctor comes in and he's like, you know, you've been here for months now and your situation doesn't really seem to be improving, so like, we're gonna probably release you pretty soon. She's like, okay. And then they, on the day of her release, they're like, here's your belongings that were here when we like put you in this asylum.
Right.
And as she's going through them, she sees a photo of her and her girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when she says, I don't want to leave. I'm not ready to go.
Yeah.
Yet. Like, I've gotta go
got to go
back in there.
Unfinished business to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I think we cut to Miranda. Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah. Good idea. Leave us hanging. Move it to the next one. Totally. We're like,
Miranda.
Wait, what's she going to do? Great.
Yeah. Who's enslaved at SeaWorld?
Completely. And it's like, I mean, it's rough. She's having to do a lot of tricks.
She is part of the dolphin show.
She's part
show.
Of the show. Like she's
yeah, she can't communicate. And it's their new, it's actually their new attraction.
Yeah, she's on posters, whatever.
The dolphin woman.
Yeah, dolphin woman. And but there's nothing like dolphin like she's just
she's fully human.
Yeah. She's fully a woman who just speaks in dolphin language. And then they make
can swim.
They can swim yeah. and like flip in the air and like go through like fiery or like hoops of fire and you know
bounce like a volleyball off of her head. And eat sardines that they throw to her.
And
Cynthia Nixon's also gonna have to go through quite a bit of
rigorous training. It's gonna be really, really tough for her. And then does she have a little bit of Munchausen? Like she thinks she likes it? Like does she think she's like, I'm into this? Like this is my new life.
Yes. Yeah. Her friends, she befriends her friends are only the dolphins,
yes.
the fellow dolphins that exist in captivity. And like they're always talking, and one is like very headstrong and always trying to break out. But I think Miranda has like, yeah, like the Stockholm syndrome of being like, oh, I don't know, like
yeah,
it's
Stockholm
scary
syndrome, yeah.
out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where she's just totally in love with her captor, and you know, yes.
Yeah, and like maybe her dolphin friend is trying to escape all the time, or is like, and I think that this dolphin friend that's headstrong is kind of a metaphor for her friend Samantha, who's like,
yes.
who's very a strong woman with her own thing going on.
Oh, so does she get a glimpse? Like she starts to get back into reality when maybe the dolphin looks at her a certain way, and
yeah.
and like and goes
says a little.
And goes like, and she's like, that reminds me of. Samantha, and it slowly starts to come back to her, like what her life was before.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. And like Miranda is, she starts to really decide, yes, I want to escape. Like I want freedom. Mm-hmm. I want to be back, and I want to just be free again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. and meanwhile, the crowds are loving Dolphin Woman. There, she's a huge.
Dolphin- is huge yeah.
hit. Lines are on the block, so that there's pressure on Louis Gossett and Bess Armstrong and Dennis Quaid, who are all just still there. We have to keep her. Like we got to keep her like happy, and we got to keep her going because it's like she is our okay. cash cow.
And they're the like three main SeaWorld people
yes.
that are like in charge of all these animals. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, love that.
And then, but maybe she, like, she, you know, like, is, like, Bess Armstrong, take a, like, be like, I really, you know, I feel a thing. And, like, maybe they have one night she's, like, cleaning the tank, and Miranda swims up, and they have, like, a moment through the glass. And Bess Armstrong's like, she's actually, you know, a woman. Like, I see her, like, for the first time.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I saw the humanity
oh,
in
it's
her
such,
eyes.
This is such
yeah.
a beautiful
and they're like touching the glass.
Yes.
And she realized that's how like then Bess Armstrong decides like I'm gonna help her.
I have compassion for her because you know their hands like totally match each other in the glass. She's like, we're so similar. I never thought of that before.
I never until this very moment. Yeah.
Never.
It never would have even crossed my mind.
Yes. So then there's a scene of Bess Armstrong teaching her English again, like reteaching her how to speak and communicate mm-hmm. and, you know, different things and just sort of giving her like a sardine and being like fish and like, mm-hmm. like bringing her back to, but it's only one scene. And then the next scene, Miranda's back. Like she
yeah.
got it all back.
It's the scene that's like submitted in like for your consideration,
oh, yes.
like Oscar
yes.
stuff. Cause it has notes of Miracle Worker in it.
It's very Miracle Worker. It's beautiful. And it will
gorgeous.
It will get both of them all of the awards. Like it will just mm-hmm. sweep.
Yeah, this is Cynthia Nixon's like moment after this mm-hmm. movie comes mm-hmm. out where she is nominated and wins an Oscar yeah. for her role as Miranda
yes.
in Sex and the City 3.
Yes, just unquestionably. Like people are just like, well, we have to. It's so beautiful.
There's no competition.
And what she's
it's
been
like,
through in this movie.
Yeah, and how she learned to literally communicate with dolphins for the movie is like a huge part of her like researching the role and stuff.
Oh, just unbelievable, because it's really accurate. Like, if they play her dialogue to actual dolphins, they would understand what she's saying, because it's that good.
Yeah, and I think there's like even like Discovery Channel like documentaries about like the process, like behind the scenes, and how many scientific advancements were made and like people do start to communicate with dolphins after the release of the movie.
Yeah, everyone's smoking, but they all have pet dolphins, like, and we all, you know, or just like go out.
We live in harmony. And we actually start to save the oceans. Like, this has a positive effect on global warming, because we really realize, like, God, these ocean creatures are so important.
And they're crying out for help. And there was a dolphin who was a woman. So, like, there's, you know, we feel a connection with it. You know, the woman and the dolphin.
Now
connection.
We get it.
Now we finally get it.
She bridges that gap in the role of a lifetime.
And then should we go to the
we
wild?
We gotta get to Charlotte.
We gotta get to Charlotte. Yeah. Poor Charlotte.
We really have underserved her storyline.
She is having a great time in the Wild West. Like, she, she runs a spittoon factory that, you know, with a Mary Steenburgen, and they're just having a great time in the Wild West.
Mm-hmm. And she is actually she has now gone back in time to 1885.
Yes.
And I feel like it's like that movie Bad Girls, kind of, the like with Drew Barrymore.
I haven't seen that either. Yeah.
It's like Sharon Stone and Drew Barrymore or something, and they're just bad girls in the West.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly.
I kind of imagine, like, Charlotte's really learned how to be like a truly independent woman.
Oh yeah, she's had to. Like, she's had to live on grain and just like, you know, and slop pigs and everything else that she's had to do. So she's had to get really you know, earthy.
It's kind of Cold Mountain
meets
Bad Girls, like, where Charlotte's out of her element at first, but Mary Steenburgen comes in and she's like kind of the Renee Zellweger character who real talks her and shows her how to run a homestead.
Yeah, so Mary Steenburgen teaches her how to be rough.
Mm-hmm. Classic Mary.
Classic. Typical Steenburgen coming in there just so butch and just athletic and you know, just sturdy.
And she wears dungarees the entire time. And like, she won't wear no skirt. Yeah, like, she's
and
not.
She drinks whiskey out of a pail with three X's on it. And it's just like, that's her drink, you know?
Yeah.
Great. So she's having a great time. What happens to, I was thinking ahead, like, before that, like, maybe because I was thinking of like weird diseases that Charlotte can have, like, she has some sort of that she overcomes them, but like weird things like
typhus
or like just things that she's that we don't know about, like we can make up, like dropped tongue or some like weird, you know, weird things that, you know, you can, you know,
where your tongue gets huge and just hangs out of your mouth like a dog for weeks
and it gets very dry and like tough, like leather. And it's like, it's such a chore. You have to constantly try to get your tongue back in your mouth.
You have to roll it up. And Steenburgen is making like special pastes and like tinctures for Charlotte's tongue and like rolls it up at night for her. And eventually Charlotte does overcome this tongue.
Totally. And this is all like very whimsical in the spirit of Back to the Future 3. It's really kind of, it's not, I think the other parts of the movie can get really scary and gritty. I think none of this is treated like at all with any seriousness. It's like, it's just like, oh, you know, you got drop tongue. Yeah. Oh, well. And then
it's the comedic relief that we need to balance out the other.
Absolutely.
Kind of, the slasher film.
The Miranda part gritty. Is so moving and so.
It's dark.
Tear-jerking. Yes. Very. Yeah.
And it's shot very like realistic, like lots of handheld cameras and has even like a different kind of color scheme.
Yeah. Very like Diving Bell and the Butterfly. Just like, really, you know, Whereas this feels, you know, it feels almost like a fun 80s, like a Hubba Bubba commercial or like one of those, like, you know, the West is, you know, it's very childlike for Charlotte.
Yeah.
I think.
I love it. And then And so Charlotte, as she's like overcoming all these challenges with the help of Steenburgen, she's learning how to be just like a strong, she's kind of like going from being like a city girl to then like a really strong country girl.
Yeah. Just like, just tough and tumble and like taking no prisoners.
And so maybe her factory that she's running is going to get like all these, like this gang of cowboys are going to try and take it over and like fight her and Mary and then like take over the factory. Mm-hmm. They're like, women shouldn't own businesses. Women need to be churning butter in the house and running the homestead.
And she's like, I didn't almost like lose my tongue for you yahoos. And so, you know, and so, yeah, they set up some sort of like,
maybe she even like got the dry tongue because early on in like a bar scene or something, they were like, why are you in the bar? Why aren't you behind the bar?
Oh, and then, yeah.
And they gave her like some sort of drink to make her get this tongue.
Some
thing.
Sort of sarsaparilla. That's just like, that was so alcoholic. And she just like sticks her tongue out because it's so...
It dries her tongue right out.
Her tongue just immediately turns really dry and gets long and hangs out of her mouth. And they laugh. They laugh at her because she fell for the classic trick of the West.
The old sarsaparilla trick.
And they knew she's not from there. So they think that she's Mary, dumb.
That's how, Mary was like, ah, those guys, and then helps her out. And so then she has a vendetta against them for that.
Okay, great.
Those are her enemies, kind of, that she's fighting the whole time.
Right. And so then do they come in there, like, disguised as businessmen and she, like, serves them drinks that, like, have some sort of counter effect? Or do they come in there like cowboys?
Maybe. Well, so is she running, like, a bar or a factory or, like...
I was saying, like, a spittoon factory, but it can be anything that she...
Yeah, maybe they come in and they're like, we want to buy your business or something, like, and we'll make you a great offer, but really, like, there is no offer, and they're just going to do, like, a hostile takeover of some sort.
Oh, yeah, because I've seen the Westerns, they would do that. They would come in and say, here's an offer, and you either take it or you die. Like, they're just like, we're going to take over your business and give you $300, or you say, no, we'll just shoot you. Like, those are your options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, we're getting it.
Yeah.
And so I think Charlotte and Mary have to kind of prepare for a showdown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of their climactic moment.
Oh, yeah. There's a really fun gunslinging, like learning how to just shoot all kinds of old kinds of rifles. And it's rollicking. It's so fun to just watch them.
Yeah. And it's a lot of the women that also, because I imagine that she's kind of like the original girl boss. So like she employs all these women at the factory and they all are learning how to like, yeah.
Oh, I love
that. They're all women that have decided to take a different route in life.
Yes.
And they're going to work at this factory instead of like staying at home and raising the kids.
I love it. And that way you can have like prostitutes and you can have like, you know, people from other towns or just like people that are like, the outcasts, but they're like the heart of the movie. They like everyone loves them, and they're just like taking it back.
As her business grows, other people, like other women from all these towns, start hearing like, "Oh, there's a place where we can like go work."
Yes,
and like, and so that's how her business gets really big. And now all the men are really mad because their wives or their
so mad
the prostitutes that they frequent at the saloons and flop houses are now all going to work at this factory and making money.
You're right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it.
Okay. So they're training and they're getting ready to like fight like a showdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think then do all the women's climax moments like happen at the same time? Like as Carrie's fighting Freddie, Miranda is escaping from SeaWorld, Charlotte's fighting the cowboys, and Samantha has to have
the whole Mrs. Doubtfire costume switcheroo. I think it's, I think he's definitely like cutting in between, like really to the point that it's confusing, like what world are we in? But it definitely needs to feel so manic that like they are all at a crisis moment together.
Yeah, and it's like, It's so action-packed, and like it will take a real skilled director to pull it off, but I think it can be done.
Oh, yes. Like the Wachowskis, like, and they don't need to be like someone like that doing it. And then you'll have maybe Carrie sees in her dream. She sees what's happening with the others. Like she, like maybe she has a showdown with Freddie. I definitely want to see a scene where she comes around the corner with a cigarette ready to blow Freddie away. But then Freddie comes around the corner and he has in his gloved hands, he has like just hundreds of cigarettes like in his hand.
Yes.
And he's smoking like, you know, and he's like, you know, like in the mood to puff or something. I don't, you know, jonesing for a hit or something like that. And she's like, oh shit. But just she has these powerful lungs, and she's in her tutu from season one, by the way, just inexplicably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she inhales, blows him away, and then in the smoke, she gets a vision of what the other three women are going through.
Yeah, and she is like, Miranda? And then it cuts to like Miranda with the other dolphins.
Yes.
Like breaking, like trying to unlock, like Miranda's learning combinations to locks that
yeah, like the dolphins know the combination to the locks, but they don't have fingers, so like they've been watching mm-hmm. the employees all the years, and they so they know what the combination is, but they speak to her in dolphin language, and she's
and
like
she had to learn English so right. that she could learn numbers again so she could push the
exactly exactly.
It's been a long road back to English for her, but she gets there.
She's got to get an Oscar for this, so it's worth it, mm-hmm. you know. And then she's gonna, so she's like punching, the codes.
And I think you see like alarms, security mm-hmm. alarms start going off, or they trip the alarm, and like Dennis Quaid and the crew, they mm-hmm. start running down with like machine guns to like shoot at the dolphins. They're like, they would rather kill them than let them escape.
Oh, absolutely. And they're like, they're machine guns. They're like, they're full on like assault rifles that they have. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. And they're shooting, and there's bullets just like going through the water. Like the Wachowskis are definitely directing
yes,
this movie.
Yes, absolutely.
And like, as like bullets just cut through the water, like maybe like graze one of the dolphins,
oh.
but then that doesn't really kill them, but it's very like cinematic
yes.
and dangerous.
Yes.
And
yeah, it like spins the dolphin out of orbit, and like, and then Miranda catches the dolphin mm-hmm. in the water, and they have a moment, they look at each other, and they realize the dolphin's gonna be okay, but it's really precarious for
yeah, them. And they, I think, finally break free. And does Beth, who's the love interest to Samantha or Miranda?
It's
or her one ally.
Armstrong. Yeah.
Bess Armstrong. Wait, who is Bess Armstrong, by the way? I was just going along with that.
She's great. She's in a lot of like 80s movies. She's the lead in that movie, and she's done a lot of like I don't know
okay.
what she's been in lately, but yeah, she's
wait, I need to Google her just so I can picture her.
She's
I'm
really
sure
pretty. She's blonde. She was in a movie called High Road to China at around the same time with Tom Selleck.
Okay. Yes. Love. So she decides to, she blows up, like has like a some sort of explosive device or something mm-hmm. where she can blow up SeaWorld. Like she one by one, like freeze. She goes and frees all the caged
animals. Oh, yes.
Animals.
And there's the cages all come
and you
come
see, like,
up.
Orcas.
Yes.
Yeah. The orcas are swimming out. And, like,
and
dolphins are swimming
it's
out.
It's a beautiful moment. It's like a Lisa Frank sticker. It's just, like, these, like, pinks and, you know, and reds and purples all coming to life. And the fish are just, it's glorious.
Mm-hmm. And they're all gathered together. And Miranda's kind of leading the pack mm-hmm, as, mm-hmm. like, the dolphin
yes,
woman.
Yes, yes.
And being like, come this way, but in dolphin.
Perfect.
And as SeaWorld like explodes, it's just like also an explosion of color that really does give it that Lisa Frank.
Yes, yes.
Color scheme.
Yeah.
And I think in that moment, we must go to Samantha.
I think so too. I'm feeling that too. Like, is there a connection? Like, does Samantha see this on the news? Like at the, we have to get through, we have to find out who she ends up with at the Jam Jam first, I guess.
Yeah. So I think while this kind of during the storylines with other women, Samantha has gone down to a small southern town, mm-hmm. and she's really made a splash there.
Yes.
And it's kind of like a Tu Wong Fu moment, totally, where the townspeople totally. Are like, who is this big city woman, larger than life character, this sassy, sexy broad? Oh. And June is just like charming the pants off of them
with
one by
every one.
One
of them. Yes, yes.
But as in different wigs, so they all the townspeople, they don't realize that she's the same.
They don't realize
person.
It. So did they think three women have just moved?
Yes, they do think three women have moved.
Three women have moved to town that they can't tell apart, that they're all big city women.
Yes. So they think so, and I think this will tie it together towards the end when they do see like Miranda on the news and they're like, but wait, that woman has been in this town the
right,
whole time.
Right, because one of them, she told us her name was Miranda, and that's Miranda. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there can't be more than one Miranda.
No, and they look so similar. It's very similar. Confusing to everyone.
Right, right. Perfect.
So, yeah, June's been dating each of these three men mm-hmm. as disguised as each of her three friends. Mm-hmm. And I think on the night of the Jam and Jam, that also happens to be the same night that like Carrie's showdown is happening.
Absolutely.
Charlotte's,
of course,
and Miranda's,
right?
And mm-hmm. by the end, is it like by the end of the Jam and Jam, everyone knows that, or does she pull it off? Does she pull off all her costume
changes? I think it should be the reveal. I think she should win the Jam and Jam mm-hmm. as one of them. And then she goes to get the thing, and then James Earl Jones he's the mayor, so he has to give her the crown. And then that's when in the audience, like, you know, maybe he puts the crown on and her wig slips.
Yes. Okay.
And then he's like, oh, and then underneath the wig is her other wig that when she's with Robert Duvall, and he's in the audience, he's like, wait, but that's Charlotte or whoever Robert Duvall thought he was with, you know, whatever name that was. It is mm-hmm. it will be very confusing because we'll have all three
it's
of them.
It's a little confusing, yeah.
Samantha will be using the other three women's names for her entire time. And Samantha's June Squibb. So it's going to be a little confusing, but worth it.
Yeah. And it's basically like kind of Inception.
Right. Right.
But once you get it, you get it.
But it's the Wachowski, so you'll get it, you know. And then, meanwhile, Gene Hackman is outside and he has a whole plan. He's like, if I blow this, you know, I can get, you know, get rid of everybody. Mm-hmm. But does he have like a change of heart? He looks in the window and sees, because he sees the wig come off and he looks through and sees that like, oh, that was the woman that was going to help me.
Does he, I'm trying to think about how Gene like gets worked into this. Because Samantha like inadvertently stops like a terrorist attack
right.
on this town.
Of course. Right.
Maybe we see them talking. She really like gets to know, like she realizes that he is in fact like much poorer than he gave off, but she doesn't judge him for that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. like, she's like, we all have secrets.
Right.
We all pretend to be someone we're not. And she's really the only person in his life that's ever shown him that kind of grace.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe after they've spent some time together and he's fooled her, then she comes across him just, like, randomly in his trailer outside of the Jam and Jam. Like, while she's doing a costume change or something, she's like, is that you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he is trying to hide to her. And then she's like, you don't have to hide.
And you don't have to do this.
Yeah. And maybe that's when she unveils herself to him. And she's like, I've been dishonest too. And like, and they have a very like a heart to heart conversation in that moment.
While she's running between the other two. Like there, she stops and has that with him. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Stops and has that with him. And they really have, it's like such a tender moment. And then she's like, then she's like, I've got to get back into the Jam and Jam.
I've got work.
Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Oh.
And they kind of, and like, and that's when he really is like, okay, Mm-hmm. And maybe during their time together, he's told her about another passion of his. And she's like, she's encouraging that. And he really does see via her like a different way.
Right. To be like an artist or something.
Yeah. She's like, your watercolors are beautiful. And I would, in fact, love to buy one. And like she
helps him in that way.
Yeah, yeah. She helps him. And maybe at that moment, she's like, I'd love to buy one. What do we say? The price is $5,000. And we know that that's how much money he's stolen from her.
Oh.
And she kind of just like, and he's like, okay. And she, and then she's like, I'll give you a pass this time. Don't get crazy again. Like, and she just handles his transgressions in like a very forgiving manner.
It's a beautiful moment about just, forgiveness. And, you know.
Forgiveness and just like empathy and understanding.
And what's $5,000, you know?
Really a drop in the bucket for Sam Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who cares?
City girl? And so I think he, instead of going about his plans to, you know, bomb this event, he just goes back into his trailer and starts painting.
He's, you know, we're always learning. So that's his, that's his journey. I love it.
Yeah. So then she's kind of pulled off. So he's now, she doesn't have to worry about like fooling him anymore. Mm-hmm. And was she, who was she with him? Like, which woman was she pretending to be with him?
Oh, I think, what if she was Carrie with him?
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was thinking too.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
And so it's like, she's demonstrating like Carrie's kind of like open-mindedness or like forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then like with maybe with like James Earl Jones, she's more of like a Miranda. Like she could be like that politician's wife and like strong presence like politically. And then with
Robert Duvall, she's Charlotte.
Robert Duvall, she's Charlotte.
Right.
So just the loving,
loving,
supportive
sweet,
wife.
Loves candy, loves supports him in that. Yeah. Yeah.
Learned how to make jam.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. This movie really has something for everyone. Like it has.
It does. Elder people, really young people,
fish lovers, smokers, everything. It's really great.
So as Samantha is getting crowned for winning the jam contest, her Charlotte wig slips off
and they realize it's been the same woman all along. And she gives a long speech about how hard it is to be new in a town. Mm-hmm. And that, and you find out that she misses her friends as well. And that she was like, I was these three because these, and she thinks they're dead. So she can be like, they all lost their lives in a plane, you know, so everyone just like is like, we love you, we forgive you, you know, like it's fine. Mm-hmm. You've brought,
you're a hero to us.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And I think it maybe at that moment, actually, the FBI descend on Gene Hackman's trailer.
Oh, great.
And they find him and bust him. And then he tells them like, I was going to do it, but I didn't because of this amazing woman.
Right.
And then she, Samantha, becomes the town hero. Yeah,
the statue in town square.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's and it's a statue of June Squibb in one wig, but she's holding two other wigs in each of her hands.
Yeah, just holding them kind of up. Or it's all three. It's her as all three women with their arms around each other and her in each wing. And I think she even, like, she manages to date, like, she dates James Earl Jones and Robert Duvall at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And they maybe are in a throuple by the end of the movie.
Yeah, sure.
And it's very advanced for this town.
Absolutely, but they're ready for it.
Yeah, she's a hero, and she now lives there full time and is like a celebrated force.
Mm-hmm.
And, but okay, so how do we get all the girls back together again?
Well, if like,
do we need to get all of them back together?
I mean,
again?
I think it would be great if we could find a way. I mean, there's one you could have. I mean, you know, if, like they see it on the news. Like I was thinking, like if somehow Samantha sees Miranda on the news, the SeaWorld story,
mm-hmm.
and then they're like, oh my God, that's Miranda. So they can get back together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she can welcome. So Samantha can welcome Miranda and all the fish, all the dolphins into the town. So the town has like dolphins now because they have like a local,
bond. It's a coastal town. Small coastal town.
And so they're together and they're like, oh, this is so great. But God, it'd be great. It'd be so much better
if
Carrie and Charlotte were here. Mm-hmm. And so then how do we get Carrie and Charlotte there? Carrie, like, defeats Freddy. She can leave the institution, right? Because they're like, they wanted her to leave. And now she's like, I've done it, you know.
I've done it and now I'm gone. Like, I've overcome these demons and now, like, I'm out. And so I think Carrie, maybe the institution happens to be outside of that. Like, as she emerges,
we never knew it until the very end. Area. Or it was really close by.
Yeah, it was very close. Like, she, and it's kind of like, yeah, like just like a small southern coastal town.
Right.
And then she sees on the news, like, maybe she sees on the news Samantha and Miranda have opened a wildlife sanctuary.
Oh, yes. Great.
And Samantha's with her two boyfriends and Miranda's like one with the dolphins and like the newscaster is like, it's an amazing story.
Yes.
And Carrie gets a bus ticket and goes right to that
one-way
town.
Ticket.
Mm-hmm. And then Charlotte's the really tough one because
she's trapped in time. She's in a different time. She's in 1885. Yeah. So she somehow has to get in the DeLorean and get back. But how does she know to do that?
Okay. I think once Carrie is in this town and she and Miranda and Samantha have been reunited, they're out to brunch. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe Marty McFly or whoever was driving the DeLorean has somehow seen, maybe there's a story like reunited after what was thought to be like a horrific death. Like,
oh, right.
Last year, the flight blah 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 crashed in the Atlantic Ocean, and now 2 out of 3 of the women thought to have not survived have been found and reunited with their friend, and it's another news story.
Yes.
And Marty McFly happens to see these women being interviewed, and it shows a picture of Charlotte, and it's like, though they are happy to be together, they do still mourn the loss of their dear friend Charlotte York. And that's when he says, oh my God, like, I know what happened to this woman. So he vrooms over to this town where they are having brunch, and they have a scene where he tells them, like, I think I can get your friend back. And then they go, Miranda goes, go get our girl.
Oh yeah. And it's that, I mean, if Cynthia Nixon hadn't already gotten the Oscar, that is the clincher.
That's
that moment.
The moment.
The audience will cheer in such excitement.
They've been on an emotional roller coaster over the course of this
rough.
Movie. They thought all their beloved characters were dead. They've seen the brutal treatment of dolphins in captivity.
Yes.
And now they really get their moment, their healing moment that they need. So he goes to get Charlotte, and does she just get in with him, or does she have like a tearful goodbye with all her?
Yeah. I'm wondering if, like, you know, will she, like, she saves the town from, you know, from, she saves all these women's lives and they are like, they love her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I'm wondering if she, does she like get in? Does she decide to, she's like, my work here is done. Like, when she finds out, like, does Marty McFly get like, pull up and be like, you've got to get back to.
Yeah, maybe the town that she saved is now called like Girls Town, and it's just a town of women working together in harmony and like living their best lives. And like, she is, it's all because of her. And when he pulls up and he's like, we've got to get you to 2021. Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't know. Like, I can't leave this town.
This is my destiny. This is my future and my everything.
Yeah, and maybe Mary is like, there's always more work that can be done. Mm-hmm. And
you saved all of these women. Now go save your friends, or like, for save your friendship,
or now go save the world,
save their hearts. Oh yes, and save the world.
Yeah.
Yes. And she's like, I've got bigger business, bigger work to do. Mm-hmm. I've no more business here.
Yeah. And they have a fun moment where they're like something with like their guns where they like swing them around and like holster them. It's like how they just acknowledge each other.
Oh, totally. Totally. Like the dolphins, how they talk to each other. It's like in the Wild West. Yeah. Just gun talk. Just gun language.
Turn your gun around and put it in the holster. Spin it around on a finger. And do like a little move.
You realize like that's what she learned here. She learned a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she gets in the car and I think pulls up in front of the restaurant where the other girls are, and they're all reunited back together again.
Yeah. And it's just like they get together and they just start laughing. Like they just laugh and laugh. Like it's just they can't believe what they've all been through.
It's so much over the course of just 1 year. So much has changed. Also, I guess this would technically be like 2005 if we just ended. Was the last movie in 2005 or 2010? It's just 2011. So they have their work cut out for them.
Right.
Because we all know like what the future is going to bring.
Oh, yeah. There you go. There can be some little Easter eggs at the end about what happens in the future that we all know. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. They're laughing. They're like, how could life possibly get any worse?
Exactly.
Like, I don't think it could.
And no, we're like, in America. It's 2011. Yeah. There's nothing that can get worse. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I love it. It keeps the door open for the next installment.
I mean, I can't wait for part four now.
Yeah, and this movie, it just, the impact is felt. I think Samantha's also, she wins a Golden Globe. June Squibb. Best comedy performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much comedy that she does in this movie, too. It's just, it's funny.
It's a real caper for her.
Because the changing of the costumes alone, and just, it's, oh my God, just, it's going to be wild.
June gets like Vogue covers.
Oh, and yes.
Like Hollywood Reporter roundtables on comedy.
Yes, and fashion becomes, and all of it. She's just, she becomes, you know, even more iconic.
Yeah, even more of a national treasure.
Yes, yes.
And it's just, and, it's a beautiful, what a God. I love this movie. I want to watch
it. I am in love with this too. I love what we made together and that we were able to get them back together, because I was like, how is that ever gonna,
where there's a will there's a way. I think that's what we've learned
when you make something good, you just know.
What should we call this movie, by the way?
Oh wow.
Sex in the City 3.
What about and this movie is in 3D, right? Because it's part 3.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 3D, yeah, I guess we should like surround sound, the Dolby, like it.
Right.
The best viewer experience is like at the Chinese theater or somewhere that really supports like IMAX.
Oh, yes. And with reclining, the seats technology that can vibrate at times and like, you know, all of
I
it.
I think we pump smells in at some parts, like for every
jam,
like there's
jam
smells,
smells,
smoke and Freddy
fish
jam.
Smells, like ocean smells, cigarette
tons
smells.
Of fish smells, yeah, yeah. Cigarette yeah. smoke, yeah.
It's very experiential. Sex in the City. It's so
fish smells, you have classic Sex in the City.
So, like Sex in the City 3D.
Oh, I love that. Okay, Sex in the City 3D. Beyond the Sea.
Beyond the Sea. Oh, that rhymes. Sex in the City 3D, Beyond the Sea.
Yeah, I
love
like
it.
That.
Because you realize that they've actually been, they've been near the water the whole time, whether they've realized
they,
it or not.
And they and it all kind of began over the sea and in the sea. And now we're moving beyond the sea in 3D. Yeah. This is like, and it does just like, it's like Avatar, but goes above and beyond even what Avatar could gross. Oh. And grosses like a $2 billion. Oh, it's the first movie to ever gross $2 billion.
$2 billion, and they immediately get 7 sequels, like, ordered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now we start to build, like, an Avengers-style universe around not only these ladies, but each of their separate worlds.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, Robert Duvall gets his own spinoff movies, at, you know.
Yeah, James Earl Jones, the mayor,
Mary
when Steen the mayor Virgin. Comes to town.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, he... Mary and the Western, there's a whole like West World kind of thing that can happen with that. Yeah.
West
and then
in
a
the
dolphin
city.
Dolphin spinoff. Yeah. Yeah. West. It's just about Girls Town.
Yeah. I just,
in 1885. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
God, I love it. We're going to be billionaires.
I can't wait
maybe
to be rich.
Trillionaires. Yeah. Same. Drew, thank you so much.
Oh my God. Thank
for
you
for sharing
this
your vision on this podcast.
I don't know.
It's
I
so
don't
fun.
Think I've laughed as hard in so long. So thank you for
yeah,
having
me. I was like crying. I needed it.
Me too. God.
Tell everyone where they can find you.
Oh, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at @Drew_Drogi. Yeah.
Love. Well, you know, until next time, I bid you all farewell, and I'll see you guys beyond the sea.
Beyond the sea.
Bye.
Friend of the Pod Productions.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.